All right, everyone. Well, it is time for us to go back again into the Word of God. As always, it's an honor, and I'm so excited just to dig into God's Word and to see what He's going to say to us today. Get your Bibles out, whatever format you use. Get your notepad, whatever way you take some notes, and let's jump into this Word of God together. We are continuing our series today entitled Running with the Horses. And in this series, we are talking about embracing the process of what God is doing in our lives and the things that He is preparing us for. We are called to do great things in God. We are called to be part of His plans and His purposes in the earth in these days. And we are called to run with the horses. But what we need to understand is even in this time that we're in right now, God is not the author of so much that is going on. But in the middle of it, He's saying, I'm trying to prepare you to run with horses. Will you allow me to work in you in this season so you will be ready to handle all that I want to entrust you with in future seasons? Jeremiah 12 verse 5 is our core text. Let me read it again. It says, if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do then in the thickets near the Jordan? And so again, just a brief review in case. We see in this passage that Jeremiah was facing challenges, and the country and the land that he was in at that time were facing great challenges as well. And so in the midst of these challenges, in the midst of these difficulties, in the midst of life not being a lot of fun right now, he is humbly and respectfully questioning God just about all that's going on around him. And God, as a loving father, responds to him with a challenge and says, yes, come on. These times are hard. But if you can't handle this, you won't be ready to run with the horses. But I've called you to run with the horses, right? It's God who said to Jeremiah, behold, I know the plans I have for you. Plan to prosper you. Plan to give you a future and to give you a hope. God had so much purpose and destiny for Jeremiah. But he said, listen, you need to be ready to run with the horses. And if you can't handle and lean in right now and just go with what I'm doing right, you won't be ready for what I called to. And so in that same way, what we're saying, and we talked about this last week, we have great calling and purpose from God. We have a great calling for the things He's called us to. But we've talked about the fact that with a great calling, with a great purpose, with the call to great victory, means there's going to be battles. There's going to be challenges, right? If we want to bring great solutions, well, there's got to be great problems that God calls us to tackle. And so in the middle of this, God's saying, listen, embrace what I want to do in you. Again, I'm not the author of all that's going on, but embrace what I want to do in you so you will be ready to run with the horses. And so what I want to do today is I want to continue to build on this theme of what we talked about last week. And I want to talk to you about one of the enemy's main strategies against us to stop us from living out destiny, calling, and purpose, to stop us from embracing the purposes of God in our generation. This is a strategy that the enemy, I know, has used against my life many times. And I promise you it's a strategy he's used against your life. It's a strategy that he's trying to use right now against so many Christians and so many believers. What is this strategy that the enemy wants to use? It's interesting because it's one we don't talk about as much, but it's simply this. His strategy is to tire us out and to wear us down. Daniel 7:25, part A of the verse says this, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And I want us to focus on that phrase, wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, obviously, if we take this verse within context, and I don't have time to go through all of that today with you right now, there is definitely a prophetic significance around this verse. This comes from the part of the book of Daniel where God is showing him visions of things which are to come. And so he is talking about a beast, and many people will tie this into kind of an end time thought or an end time teaching. I'm not trying to comment on that one way or another today. I think there's great depth in the scriptures to go into that. But here's what I want you to see. Whatever thing, you could see very clearly in the scripture that this beast was empowered by the enemy. This beast was walking in a demonic MO or demonic method of operation, which suggests that it's not just this beast that is going to be doing these things and trying to wear out the saints of the Most High, but it's actually a strategy of the enemy to try and wear out the saints Most High. Now I want to ask right now, how many of you after this season are feeling a little worn out? Now, you can raise your hand because maybe you're watching by yourself and no one's even there. So you don't have to worry about it. Even if people are, how many people have been feeling a little worn out? I'll tell you straight up, I've been battling feeling worn out. There's been times where in myself, I felt like, God, this is just so much right now. There's just too much going on and you just feel worn down. You feel tired. You'll feel worn out. But what I want to encourage you today is we need to recognize this for what it is. Yes, there is obviously times that you get tired and there's times that you get weary. But I want to talk to you and I want to encourage you a bit today. And I want to stir up your faith regarding what God wants to do in the middle of this and recognizing this strategy. I mean, see, it's interesting. It says two things. It says, number one, he shall speak words against the Most High. And many of us, this is something the enemy has been trying to do in this season. Speaking words against the Most High. This reminds me even of back in the Garden of Eden when Satan was tempting Eve and he was trying to deceive Eve. And he said to her, did God really say? Right? So he started to question the word of God and he started to question God's character. He was trying to undermine God and who he was to Eve to get her into. Because he made it seem like, no, he said this, but really God's hiding something from you. There's a deeper truth here that God is covering up from you. If you just follow what I say, you get it. See, he's attacking the character of God. He's going after God. And for many of us, I want to encourage, because the enemy's been coming, and some of you listening right now, God's not going to come through for you. You can't trust God in this season. God's not going to do this. God's not. He's going to attack. He's going to speak words against the Most High. Furthermore, it doesn't say this explicitly, but it jumped out to me while I was reading. Not is he going to speak words against the Most High, but he's going to speak against the words of the Most High. And I do believe this is correct, an incorrect interpretation, because if he's speaking against the Most High, one of the things he's going to be speaking against is words. But I just want to encourage you today, what are the words that God has given you? What are the words that God has spoken to you? Because we need to stand on those words, but the enemy is going to come. He's going to try to undermine God's character. He's going to try and undermine God's word. And we need to just stand firm on that word. We need to stand firm on what he said to us. That's the house that's built on the rock that's going to stand up to every storm are people who hear and obey the word of God. But if the enemy can get you to doubt the word of God, if the enemy can get you to begin to disregard or disrespect the word of God or just lose hope in the word of God, you don't have a rock to build on anymore. Right? He's going to get you on the sand where then he can take you out. And so we see he speaks words against the Most High. We see he's going to speak against the words of the Most High. And then he just is going to try and wear you out. Right? There's an element where the Bible talks about he's the accuser of the brethren. Another thing, another name for I believe it's devil. And forgive me, I don't even have this reference in my notes. But one of the names given to Satan in the scriptures, it literally uses this term. It's like water just dripping against a rock. You know, you ever had that? You know, it's like, maybe your children are like, daddy, 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 daddy. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And so I go, what? Like, you know, it's just kind of this thing. And I'm not trying to compare our children to the devil, but I'm just trying to give you an example of what that word means, where it's just over and over and over and over and over again. And what he wants to do is he just tries to come from every angle and just try and hammer away, hammer away, hammer away, hammer away, right? Because he wants to wear you down. Has the enemy been trying to wear you down in this season? Right? There's so many of us in this season, if we're honest, we've just been tired. We become tired. And maybe as I'm speaking about this right now, the light bulbs are clicking. They're going, oh, that's what's going on with me. But the enemy's want to wear us down physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. He wants to wear down our relationships. He wants to wear down your marriage if you're married. He wants to wear down your core friendships. He wants to wear you down on every front. Why? Because if you get worn down as a son or a daughter of God, you know that shield of faith just starts dropping a little lower because you're getting worn down. You're just not holding that sword of the Spirit quite the same way. You're not standing firm quite the same way because you're just getting worn down. And it's interesting because sometimes if the enemy comes with some massive attack, we're ready to battle. But if he just comes in a more subtle way, it's just trying to wear us down, chip away a little bit here, chip away a little bit there, hit on that, hit on this, kind of just hammer away at this. And then all of a sudden we're in this season where we're falling flat on our face in the spirit. We're like, what happened? Well, we just got worn down. And so I wanted you to ask yourself, I want you to look in your heart today and say, have I been getting worn down? Has the enemy been using this strategy against me? Because I believe it's something that has been hitting so many of us. But see, if we go back to the heart of what we're talking about here, we're talking about being ready to run with the horses. See, he wants to wear you down so you don't run with the horses. Somebody who's worn down does not live out destiny, purpose, and calling. Somebody who's worn out does not run in the things God's called them to. They do not run with the horses. And so in the name of Jesus today, I just want to declare over you, I want to declare over your life that this strategy of the enemy wearing you out and wearing you down and getting you just discouraged and getting you just tired and getting you feel like I can just barely lift myself up into the things of God more, that strategy is broken today in the name of Jesus. That strategy is exposed and that strategy is broken. And I just want to go on a prophetic edge for a second here. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this strategy and where the enemy has been trying to wear you out. And I speak that the strength of God in you is greater than any strategy of the enemy to wear you out. He couldn't wear Jesus out. Jesus wore him out. And Jesus lives in you. In the name of Jesus, you are not going to be worn out. And if you're in a place where you're worn out, I just speak a renewing today. I speak an energizing in the Spirit, and that you are going to run with the horses in the name of Jesus. Now, what are some practical ways that we can embrace this? Again, let me just say this, a gospel edge to this. Jesus came, right? We don't have to do this in our own strength. In our own strength, we'll get worn out. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is the power of the gospel, guys. Jesus came and he died and he rose again, not just to save us from our sins, even though that was a massive, amazing thing that I'm forever thankful for. But he said, I came to give you my life in abundance to the full till it overflow. Satan could not wear Jesus out. He tried everything he could think of to wear him out. Even when he's on the cross, he tried to wear him out. He thought he won, but he actually lost. Jesus was never worn out. And Jesus said, listen, in me, I will give you strength to overcome. In me, I will give you strength. So put your faith in him today. Put your trust in him today. Come on, just declare where you are. Say, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We do not have to do this in our own strength. But this is the power of the gospel, that Jesus came. And that he persevered for us. And if we put our faith and trust in him, he'll give us that same strength to persevere. Right? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Right? Keep our eyes fixed on him, the author and finisher of our faith. He never gets worn out. He ran his race to completion. And in Jesus' name, in his strength, you and I will run our race to completion as well too. But what are some practical ways that we can embrace this? We can do this. Let's go to Hebrews 6 verse 12. And in Hebrews 6 verse 12, it says, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Now, I just want to break this down for a second, because the one word I want you to see is this word sluggish. Rick Renner, who's a Bible teacher and a Bible commentary, mentioned this. He talked about, he's actually a Greek scholar. And he said this, that he always thought sluggishness meant laziness. But then one day the Lord corrected him and said, no, you're being sluggish. He's saying, but Lord, I'm working real hard here. I'm not being lazy at all. But God said, no, I want to deal with you about sluggishness. And when he went to look at the word sluggish in the original language, it's the word nothros. And it describes something that is dull, monotonous, unexciting, something that is slow and sluggish, something that has lost its speed or its momentum. In other words, I don't know about you, but to me this sounds like someone or something that has become worn out. Right? The enemy wants to just slip in and hammer away and chip away and get us to a place where we're dull, where we're monotonous, where there's no excitement, where we're slow, where we're sluggish, where we've lost all our speed and we've lost our momentum in the spirit. And guys, I can't tell you how many believers, and even talking my life, and sometimes I feel the challenge with this, that everything looks good on the outside. We know we come to church, we do the religious things we're supposed to do. We may even raise our hands in worship and sing to God, but on the inside, we've lost all of our spiritual speed. We've lost all of our momentum. We have moved into this sluggishness. And so God's saying, do not be sluggish. But then what are the answers? So I say, okay, maybe because you're listening. Let's be straight. There's probably a lot of people listening to me right now, and you're going, okay, yeah, this is me, Pastor. You're talking to me right now. Just the season and how hard things have been and all the uncertainty and all the stuff. I've just kind of, bleh. You know, it's just like, bleh. How's your spiritual walk? Bleh. You know, how's your love for God? Bleh. You know, how's your witnessing life right now? Bleh. You know, how are you waking up early to spend time with God? Bleh. You know, it's just bleh. Right? So how do we go from bleh to what God's called us to? Right? What are the things we can engage with? And so actually, I'm not going to read it all right now, but if you look around Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, you go back to 6, verse 10 and 6, verse 11, there's some really strong keys that are spoken to us. First and foremost, how do I overcome? If I'm like sluggish, this, what do I do? How do I overcome this? First and foremost, we need to remember God's love. Come on, somebody say, remember God's love. Now, I could preach not just a sermon, I could preach a series, I could preach a year on just the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. But see, we need to remember the love of God for us. Because often what happens, guys, is in these seasons where things are hard, in these seasons where things are challenging, we're losing sight. We're not staying refreshed in the love of the Father. We're not remembering how much God loves us. And so we need to stay centered in God's love. Secondly, we need to stir up our hope. Verse 11 talks about this, where you stir up your hope. What is hope? Hope is an earnest expectation that something good is coming. That's what Bible hope is, right? We have a hard time with this many times in our Canadian context, because usually we use the word hope kind of like, well, I hope it's going to happen. In other words, it means I'm like, I don't know, like maybe. But see, that's not Bible. Bible hope is this earnest expectation that something good is happening. This past season has been warring on people's hope. It's been draining away hope. It's like my expectation of something good happening is just gone. Like I have little hope for the future. I have little hope for what's gone. But in Jesus, we always have hope. See, in this season, if we've lost hope, guys, I would suggest, and I'd ask you to consider that maybe our hope was placed in the wrong things. Because even though a lot around us has changed, God has not changed, His word has not changed, His promises have not changed, His power has not changed, His grace has not changed, His love has not changed, His purposes for your life has not changed. We didn't see this coming, but He saw it coming. That has not changed. There is great hope in this season. In the name of Jesus, to break the power of sluggishness, I speak over your life fresh hope in Jesus' name. Get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes off your circumstances. Get your eyes off the newscast. Get your eyes, I'm not saying never watch it, but just don't make that your main focus. Get your eyes off the discouragement and the disruptions, and let's lift our eyes to Jesus. Let's lift our eyes to the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's lift our eyes to the one, excuse me, let's lift our eyes, as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, to the one who ran the race that was before us and endured the cross, endured the shame. Why? For us, let's lift our eyes to Him. I speak hope in Jesus' name. I declare hope over your life. Why? Because when you have burning hope in your heart, you will not fall into sluggishness. The enemy cannot wear out a believer who is filled with hope. The only way he can wear us out is to get us to lose sight of our hope. And so number one, let's remember God's love. Number two, let's stir up hope. And then number three, as it says in this verse, it says, do not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and through patience. And so number three, we need to stand in faith. Somebody say, I'm standing in faith. What are you believing God for? When you get pulled into sluggishness, you are not believing for very much at all, if anything. If you talk with someone who's been pulled into sluggishness, it's like, what do you believe in God for? Well, I don't really know, and maybe this, and maybe that. But man, when you're talking to someone, they say, what do you believe in God for? They say, well, this is what I'm believing God for. God is going to protect my family in this season. COVID is not touching our household in the name of Jesus. God is going to protect my kids. God is going to supply all my needs financially according to His riches and glory. There might be some uncertainty, but I'm just excited to see how God's going to do this. See, that's an attitude of faith. You know what you're believing God for. You know what you are standing on. That is the enemy wants to wear out your faith, but be stirred up in faith in Jesus' name. And then last but not least, we remember God's love. We stir up our hope. Number three, we stand in faith. And number four, it's through faith and patience. And so not only do we stand in faith, but we stand in patience. Now, I've talked about this before at different times. What's Bible patience all about? Bible patience is not kind of like, well, I'm just going to kind of wait until something happens. No, Bible patience is actually something that is very assertive. It's something that it almost military, where it's like, I'm standing firm and I'm not going to move. In other words, I'm believing God and I'm not going to stop believing God. Even if some things didn't go the way I thought, I'm not going to stop believing God. Even if things didn't happen in the timeline I thought, I'm not going to stop believing God. Even if certain circumstances went the different way than I thought they're going to, I am not going to stop believing God. I am standing in patience. Come on, somebody say it where you are right now. I'm standing in patience. right? It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. See all those promises? That ties back into hope, right? Promise is an earnest expectation that something good is coming. And so it's all surrounded by the love of God. But in Jesus' name, I charge you, I encourage you today, stir up your hope, stir up your faith, and stand firm in patience in Jesus' name. Let me read Hebrews 6, verse 12 to you from the Passion Translation. It says, so don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully receive what God has promised because of their strong faith and their patience endurance. Isn't that good today? I just speak and I declare this word over you. I want to declare it right now in the name of Jesus. You will not allow your heart to grow dull or lose enthusiasm, but you follow the example of those who fully receive what God's promised them because of their strong faith and because of their patient endurance in the name of Jesus. You are called to run with the horses. And in this season, that is what we are learning how to do. We are getting stronger. Our faith is going deeper. We are getting more united. We are getting more connected in the things of the Spirit. We are learning how to believe God even when things around us are challenging and difficult in a new way. And together, we are going to be ready to run with the horses in the name of Jesus. And everyone agree with me said, amen. And let me remind you, last but not least, before I go, in the power of the good news or the gospel of Jesus, we don't have to do this in our own strength, right? He said, I will do it for you, right? He was the perfect example of faith. He was the perfect example of patience. He was the perfect example of hope, right? The hope and the joy the Bible talks about set before him caused him to endure. Why? Because he had this earnest expectation of what his Father was going to do. And Jesus said, you do not have to figure out how to do this in yourself, but if you put your faith and trust in me, I will give you my strength. I will give you my life. I will give you my grace. I will give you my Spirit so you can walk this out. And so I just want to encourage you to close the head. Let's put our faith in Jesus today that we're going to run with the horses through him and in him. Not in ourselves, but in him. And if you're listening today and maybe you've never welcomed Jesus into your life in that way, you've never given your life to him, or maybe you did, but you fell away and you backslid, I want to call you back to the Father's house today. I want to call you home. You are called with purpose and destiny. You are called to run with the horses. God has called you, but there's this issue, and the issue is sin. Sin separates us from him. Right? And because of sin, we deserved eternal punishment. I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm talking about myself too. But again, the gospel, Jesus came. He died in our place. He rose again. He said, if you'll turn your back on sin and you'll put your faith and trust in me, I will forgive you. I'll free you. And you are going to run with the horses with me in your life. And so if you know you need to do that today, I'm going to pray this simple prayer and close it. I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you came. You died and you rose again for me. Today I turn my back on sin. I repent and I give my life to you. Forgive me, fill me, transform me. I want to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, in the info section for this video, there's a link that says something to the effect of, I gave my life to Jesus. Please click on that link. We want to know that you've made this decision, and we want to be able to pray with you. Other than that, it's been awesome just to be together again in the Word of God. TCC family, I want to remind you of a couple things before I go today. Number one, make sure that you're involved in a connection. Connections are so vital in our church family, and in this season, it's even more vital that we are gathering not just in the temple, even virtually, but also from house to house. You need to be part of community. Family happens in circles. It happens around tables. Get involved in the connection. And secondly, I want to invite you to join me on the Faith Fuel video devotional, 7 a.m. every day on our YouTube channel. It goes live, but you can watch it throughout the day. I'm going to be continuing to teach this week on practical principles of how we can run with horses, and I'd love to see you there. God bless you. We love you. Have an amazing Sunday. Have an amazing week. And remember, you and I are called to run with horses.